The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
I'm sure lots of you will have been fans of The Missing Crypto Queen. It was a podcast that was out a couple of years ago. Really, really brilliant. And if you haven't listened to it, you should do so. It is now going to be the subject of a book. That book, same title, The Missing Crypto Queen, is going to be released to the general public tomorrow. The journalist Jamie Bartlett is the author of the book. He is behind the podcast as well, and he is with me now. Jamie, you're very, very welcome to this show. This is kind of fortuitous timing to release this book because, you know, cryptocurrencies in the news a lot, in the financial news certainly a lot in recent weeks. They have been nosediving in value. But before we talk about any of that, there are going to be some listening to the show who don't know anything about this story, The Missing Crypto Queen. So maybe for them, who is Dr. Ruja Ignatova and what did she do?
Right. So back in 2014, Dr. Ruja Ignatova, she turns up out of nowhere. She's a Bulgarian-German businesswoman, a sort of a brilliant financial mind. And she says to the world, I've created the next Bitcoin, the next cryptocurrency that's going to revolutionize finance. Get in now while it's still early and you can all change your lives. And I mean, within 18 months, this had spread to 175 countries. Probably almost a million people had invested by mid-2017, something like between 3 and 4 billion euros into what they thought was the next big cryptocurrency. Then in October 2017, she boards a Ryanair flight from Sofia, Bulgaria to Athens, Greece, and is never seen again. And the whole thing is basically revealed to be a brilliantly designed, gigantic Ponzi scheme. The cryptocurrency she was selling the world, it was called OneCoin, was fake. The price that people thought they had for their coins, that was fake. And ever since, no one's seen her. And the podcast was us trying to find her, track her down, where is she, and also uncover how this gigantic scam actually worked.
How did she convince so many people it was real? What were the smoke and mirrors, I suppose?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's partly because a lot of cryptocurrency, especially back then, 2015, 2016, a lot of it was smoke and mirrors. I mean, people didn't understand how this technology worked, but they'd heard about this thing called Bitcoin. They'd seen that the price seemed to be going up and people around them were getting rich. And frankly, they didn't care that much about the details. They were just obsessed with the idea that they too had struck gold and they were going to change their lives really quickly and really easily. But alongside that, she was a very credible person. I mean, she had a PhD in law. Worked for years at a top accountancy firm, University of Oxford degree. We thought she appeared on covers of top magazines, but they were often fake as well. So she created this sort of air of authority about her, but combined with the fact that most people didn't really understand the tech. And they'd seen Bitcoin and thought, great, I've seen the next one. I'm going to get in early. You combine those things together and the thing just spread so fast that I think it probably actually grew much faster than she ever expected.
Who did she dupe? Who was the target audience? Were it small-time investors? Was it pension funds and hedge funds? Who invested in OneCoin?
I think this is what makes OneCoin different from some of the other big scams that we read about. It wasn't like institutional investors. It wasn't big banks that were putting their money into it. It was ordinary, what we call retail investors, ordinary people that were investing 1,000 euros, 5,000 euros, scraping together with family and friends to just buy a little bit that they thought might help them. And that was because it was spread through what's called multi-level marketing or network marketing. You know, the thing where you buy products and sell them to your friends at little parties, sort of Tupperware and Avon. And then you get them to sell to their friends and they sell to their friends and it sort of spreads out. It was sold through that. So this was ordinary people selling to other friends and family, which is one reason a lot of people, I suppose a lot of the press missed it, because this sort of multi-level marketing world is not something that's covered that much, but also why it spread so quickly. It was like hand to hand. It was on the streets at lunchtimes in little seminar rooms. All over the world, 175 countries. So it made it very, very difficult as well for, I suppose, people to blow the whistle on it, because the people that had lost their money had oftentimes recruited other people into the scam as well. And that's why these kinds of things can be so, I suppose, they're so awful.
Yeah, you're right. And it's remarkable is that the way they spread it, that multi-level marketing approach, it means that people who are victims of fraud are also perpetuating the fraud at the same time at their own level. It's so bizarre. And we don't want to give it all away, because the book, as we say, is coming out this week, and the podcast, maybe if people haven't listened to it, they want to listen to it. But I mean, there is kind of shady characters in and around Dr. Ruja as well, isn't there?
Well, let's put it this way. When you've raised sort of billions of euros and you are able to disappear for a very, very long time, you normally need help from people. There's a lot of strange coincidences in the story as well. Like, for example, she disappeared only 2 weeks after the US Department of Justice issued a seal indictment for her arrest. No one should have seen that. I don't think it's a coincidence that she disappeared almost immediately as soon as it was issued. She's huge amounts of money, very well connected, contacts all over the world. So let's put it this way, finding her has not been easy.
Where do you think she is?
Well, for a long time I wasn't telling anyone this, but I can say a few words about it. Okay. And I know it sounds a bit Hollywood, sounds a bit ridiculous, but when we've had many, many sightings, pursued many, many different leads, a lot of them led to dead ends, and people's memories can be vague and inaccurate. But when I had them all together and we really investigated this carefully, I actually think at the most likely place that she is at the moment is, I'm sorry to say to the investors listening, but is probably on a super yacht somewhere, probably floating around the Mediterranean.
Wow. Okay. I look forward to the book, because, like I say, I love the podcast. I mean, when you are looking at what is happening now with crypto, and I'm sure you're conscious of people falling into the same trap that all of these OneCoin investors fell into. You know, like, you only have to take out, if you take out your phone now and go onto social media, go onto Twitter, and you look up some, you know, crypto or Bitcoin or something, you'll have any amount of charlatans offering advice. You know, buy the dip, don't buy the dip, you know, never catch a falling knife. The knife has hit the bottom, whatever it happens to be. And I'll be honest with you, Jimmy, I've spoken to many people about Bitcoin. I still don't really understand blockchain and all of that. Like, you know, and I like to think I understand most of the things I talk about on the radio. I still don't really get it. Even having listened to your podcast, I still don't really get it. Like, retail investors, some are going to get screwed again, aren't they?
Yes, I'm afraid so. And usually when these things collapse, it is the retail, it is the small-time people that do lose out. And usually when you think you've got this great little tip, or this sort of, you've got the early word on a product, the fact it's come to you, it, I'm afraid to say, you're probably already somewhere near the bottom of the pyramid. Unfortunately, a lot of people, though, get really sucked into the sort of narrative of this world-changing financial revolution. But above all, I think they just fear missing out. They do see that some people make a lot of money very, very quickly on these quite speculative investments, and they want a piece of the action. And I think I've called it the sort of FOMO, the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out can really blind you to the sort of realities and the risks. And I think once you start, you can feel yourself fearing missing out. You jealously look over at people you went to school with who are driving around in Lamborghinis, thinking, I'm smarter than these guys. What's going on? That's when you got to be careful. That's when you know you're not really thinking straight. So I can never offer financial advice except to be extremely careful. And as everyone always says, never put in more than you're able to lose. And one of the reasons we've had such a big crash, I think, is there's been a lot of borrowing in order to invest, which is really extremely risky.
All right. Well, listen, whatever about the financial advice, Jamie, I look forward to the book, and I loved the podcast. And if people haven't listened to it, you can find it wherever you get them. The Missing Crypto Queen is the name of it. And that is the name of the book being released tomorrow. Jamie Bartlett is the author. Jamie, an absolute pleasure. And thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.